Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So this morning, we are continuing to look at the Lord's Prayer. So I want us to begin by reading those familiar words from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, over the last few weeks, as we've been looking at the prayer, three things have stood out for me. Firstly, it's a corporate prayer. It's not about me, it's about us as a body of believers. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. Secondly, it's about kingdom work, our roles as ambassadors of God's kingdom, wherever we find ourselves. And thirdly, it's active. We say the words so that we can live them, so that they can enable us to make the prayer a reality. So today we're going to consider the next two verses of the prayer. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. The focus of the prayer turns to our needs now, our need for sustenance, both physical and spiritual. Now, it can be argued that Jesus is teaching about spiritual food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. However, I believe that here at this time, it's physical food he wants us to focus on. God is not only concerned with our spiritual well-being, he is concerned with our physical well-being. After all, God became flesh. Jesus was fully human, just as we are. He needed food to sustain his body, just as we do. God is concerned with our physical well-being. So, give us today our daily bread is about asking for daily provision, about trusting God to provide for our basic needs each day. But not only for our needs as individuals, but for the needs of those around us. So the focus of the prayer has shifted slightly. Yes, we are to ask for ourselves, but we are also to ask for others. We are not to be greedy or selfish in our asking. And it reminded me of the time when God provided manna for the people of Israel in the wilderness. The people were hungry. They had cried out to God. And God gave them the manna. But he gave it with an instruction that they were only to gather as much as they needed for the day and double the amount for the Sabbath. God was trying to teach them to rely on him for their basic needs. So what happened? Well, some of the people were greedy, and they took more than they needed, and they tried to store it. And as a result, it went rotten. It was full of maggots, and it smelt. You know, the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years. That's how long it took them to trust God for their daily bread. Because the journey from Egypt to Canaan by the shortest route is only about 250 miles. It should have taken a couple of weeks. 40 years. How slow are we to learn the lesson? So give us our daily bread is about putting our trust in God to provide for our most basic needs. It's accepting that God has provided for us, that his provision is sufficient. No one needs to go hungry. God has provided enough resources for everyone. It's greed and self-interest that makes hunger happen. So if this prayer is about kingdom work, which we learned it was last week, then it's our responsibility to be involved in that kingdom work, to live lives which enable each person to have their daily bread, to make daily bread a reality for all. Now, that action can take many different forms. It can mean giving to food bank. It can mean helping the homeless. It can be voting in a particular way, or just inviting someone to dinner. We have a responsibility to be engaged in practical kingdom work. And I believe that that's why the next part of the prayer comes where it does, because we know that greed and selfishness, putting I in the centre, leads to sin. So the emphasis changes again slightly. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Now, I confess, I have a wee bit of a problem with the word debt and debtors. I think maybe it's a rebellion against Presbyterianism. But when I think about debt, I think about money. So I looked up the dictionary definition of debt, and it says, one, a sum of money that is owed or due. Two, the state of owing money. Three, a feeling of gratitude for a service or favour. So it is about money, something you owe, maybe something you've borrowed but you haven't repaid yet. But it's not necessarily about money. It can be a sense of indebtedness because of something that somebody has done for you. It doesn't necessarily have to be repaid, but you feel grateful. So let's just keep that thought in our mind as we read the translation or version that I was brought up with. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So just to be fair, I looked up the definition of trespass, and it says, one, to enter a person's land or property without permission. Two, to commit an offence against a person or a set of rules. So trespass has more to do about being somewhere you shouldn't be, you don't have permission to be. It's about crossing a boundary or breaking a rule. So where do these two definitions lead us? What do we think when we say the prayer, when we use the word debt or trespass? Well, surely the overriding sense is that a wrong has been done against an individual, that someone has been injured or hurt in some way, whether that's a direct assault on them as a person or whether a boundary has been stepped over. For the individual concerned, a hurt has been experienced. And sometimes that hurt is deliberate. It's a deliberate act against us. Or other times, it's something somebody has done or said and they don't even realise they've done it, but a hurt has been experienced. So what are we to do? Forgive. It's interesting that Matthew records what Jesus said after he taught the prayer. In verse 14 we read, if you forgive other people their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Whoa. Wait a minute. I find that a bit difficult to accept. Do you? Does that mean that God will not forgive me if I do not forgive other people? Well, I believe that what Jesus is trying to teach is how important it is to forgive in our relationships. Because forgiving breaks down barriers and enables us to receive forgiveness too. It's interesting that, you know, some of the recent translations have replaced the word debt or trespass with sins. and sins are surely a trespass or a debt against God. Now, while it's clear that obviously we must confess our sins to God and receive his forgiveness, I don't think that's really the emphasis that Jesus is putting on today, on this prayer. He is talking about our ability to forgive and to receive forgiveness from each other. It's also about recognising that unforgiveness hardens our heart and restricts communication. We can't communicate with others or with God if we hold on to unforgiveness. At its worst, it stops any communication whatsoever. So we are to forgive. Forgive in the way that God forgives us. Now, the psalmist reminds us just how God forgives. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as we deserve, or repay us as according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That always really blows my mind. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. And we are called to forgive as he does. We are called to have compassion, to show mercy, and to forgive. So what does it actually mean to forgive? Well, psychologists say that to forgive is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or group of people who have harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. So it's a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. It doesn't mean you condone it or you excuse it. You forgive. So forgiveness is a deliberate act of the will. It's when someone chooses to let go of the anger and hurt they feel. Jesus knew that forgiveness in our relationships isn't so much about the person who is being forgiven, it's about the person who forgives. Forgiveness kills bitterness and resentment. Forgiving someone is freeing. It releases us. It allows our future not to be defined by past hurts. It allows us to build new relationships. Just like when we receive God's forgiveness, we experience new life. When we forgive others, we can enter into new relationships, enter into that fullness of life. I'm sure we all know people whose lives are defined by bitterness and resentment. They're not much fun to be around, are they? And they're not very happy. And that's not what Jesus wants for us. He wants more. He wants us to receive fullness of life. And that's not possible if we harbour bitterness and resentment. Now, that's not to say that forgiveness is easy, especially if the person isn't sorry for what they've done. But if we want to move forward, if we want to truly live our lives as children of God, we have to learn to forgive. And, you know, when I was preparing for this morning, I kept on remembering the film Philomena. I don't know if you've seen it, but Philomena was a woman searching for her son. As a teenager, Philomena was pregnant and she was sent to a convent for fallen women. She was treated badly there and her child was sent for adoption to America without her consent. And she had spent 50 years looking for her son, trying to find him. And the journalist, Martin Sixsmith, became involved in her case. And together they discovered quite a lot about her son. They discovered that he'd been successful in America, and they discovered that he had been searching for them, but he had died. He had died of AIDS. And they discovered that he had actually been buried at the convent because he wanted her to find him. The nuns had lied. They had covered up the truth. So I want to show a clip of the film, and it's where they return to the convent, having discovered the truth, and just before this clip, Martin gets really angry and he goes flying through the convent, opens all the doors, trying to find the one nun that he knows definitely knew the truth, because there was pictures of her with Philomena's son. And this is what happens. To make the words, "Your kingdom come," a reality by our actions as ambassadors of Christ, people who forgive. Jesus himself was the ultimate example of how to forgive. The people who nailed Jesus to the cross, they weren't sorry for what they'd done. They thought they were doing the right thing. They were solving a problem as far as they were concerned. But Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Let us be people who learn what it means to forgive and who choose to forgive others. Then there will truly be no barrier to us receiving God's forgiveness and living as sons and daughters, members of his kingdom. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you taught us how to communicate with you. Help us when we pray. Remind us that you want us to have fullness of life right now, living as members of your family, equipped for kingdom work. Father, we thank you that everything we have comes from you. Teach us to share our resources. Help us to demonstrate your love by our actions. We thank you that because of Jesus, we know what it means to receive forgiveness. Help us to be people who choose to forgive. Remind us of the freeing power of forgiveness. Equip us and enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill us that we may begin this new week ready and able to meet all the challenges we face. Amen.